I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hello!
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
Wow. Back at it again with the white vans, eh?
Yes.
Oh, damn it, Dan.
Damn it, Dan. Hey, speaking of new accessory pieces and things to wear, check out this watch I just got.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Hold on.
Very great, very good watch, but speaking of accessories, things to wear?
The white Vans.
Okay, now we can move on. Beautiful gold watch, Mike.
Look at this.
Did you pull that off a corpse? Where'd you get that thing?
Whose face is that?
It's upside down because I can't. There we go.
What is it?
It's the Mother Mary.
Oh, wow. She's beautiful.
I've been watching so much Sopranos, and I like, you know, I went down to Canal Street and got a $10 watch, but it's, you know, to paint the picture, it looks like a Rolex. It's like silver and got the
gold the band in the middle. Yeah.
I was in the area and I was walking by. I was like, oh, I've heard people talk about these cheap little jewelry stores. I popped in. I was like, oh, look at this thing. So yeah, it's got a picture of the Virgin Mother holding Jesus and two angels flying around.
That rules. I also inspired by Sopranos. No, I think I mentioned on the pod here that I wanted to get a gold chain, that I was going to be a gold chain guy.
Yeah.
And a tracksuit guy.
Yes. I told Fran I was thinking about getting a gold chain, and she was like, you got to talk to Neil, because Neil Campbell gets his gold chains from the place that Carl Tart gets his gold chains.
Jeez, everyone's got gold chains.
So I text Neil. I say, hey, where does Carl Tart get his gold chains from? And Neil sent me the link. It's like hiphopjewelry.com or something.
Yeah.
They got like these big, like a big Venom head.
Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe this is a whole thing. Men's jewelry is in the zeitgeist.
We're finally mature enough to wear watches that sort of clink around like that.
Jingle jangle.
Yeah, listen to that thing rattle. Oh, love it.
Mannerism, though, like shaking your wrist like that, that's such like of a generation of men that's not us, because we don't wear watches, so you don't.
Tim, I'll stop you right there. I do shake my phone like that when I want to see what time it is.
I've noticed when I'm wearing this watch, I sort of point with both my pinky and my pointer finger.
Yeah, like,
and I say,
careful, there's ladies present.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for this thing to, like, I'll be walking down the street and it all just falls off my wrist.
I think that thing's there for
the springs
good.
Pop out
by
it.
A raindrop.
Yeah, exactly. I was washing my hands before. I was like, ooh, I better take the watch off. It doesn't even have a brand on it. I don't know what this is.
Hey, speaking of accessories and things to wear, I had another. You remember when I had a correction about the Safdie brothers?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes.
Well, now I have an apology for the Safdie brothers.
Oh, my God.
You guys don't even have to listen to this. Actually, it's directly to the Safdie brothers.
Oh, okay.
Safdies, I thought you were Carhartt guys, but I did a Google search. It turns out you're Patagonia guys.
Oh,
jackets.
You guys.
There's lots of images of them wearing Patagonia, and I didn't find any Carhartt. I take it back.
They're into Patagonia. Oh, one of my tribe.
Oh, boy.
I have a couple Patagonia coats, okay?
What about that other one that is like the new hotness, Arc'teryx? Am I saying that right? You guys know Arc'teryx?
No, I don't know. It's the new hot. It's the Summit new hot ice? Drip.
All the listeners are going, Arc'teryx, guys, Arc'teryx.
It's the drip.
Now am I saying that right?
Arc'teryx.
Who are the Carhartt wearing brothers, Tim?
Who are the other director brother duos?
Like the Winklevosses?
I guess. Yeah. No, I think it's
like
the
I'm
Coen
wondering
brothers.
Now who you saw. Maybe they weren't brothers at all, but maybe you saw who you saw that you said, "Oh, that must be the Safdies."
No, I was
probably the Russos, Russo brothers.
I was for sure picturing the Safdies, but I just pictured it wrong. You know, in the mind's eye.
Damn,
it's amazing. It's just amazing what the brain can do.
You know what's funny about this, Tim? The reason I was in near Canal Street to get this great watch, I had to go to a Patagonia today because I have a Patagonia backpack, and the little zipper thing broke off, so I brought it in. They fixed it up for me.
Oh, that's nice.
But while I was there, I was looking around, and they had one of those corduroy jackets with the lamb's fur collar.
Mm-hmm. Jean jacket cut with a fur collar?
Yeah, but it was yes, jean jacket cut, but it had corduroy. And I was is this? I put it on and I said, is this something I could pull off? And I don't know.
I had a bad experience with one of those one time at the, I went to a Levi's store, bought a black corduroy jacket with dark gray wool collar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little too puffy. You know, the liner, it was wool all the way through, like a fur liner. Mm-hmm. And it was a little too puffy, but I liked the collar. So I said, I'll take this home and I'll cut out the liner with scissors. And I'll leave the collar.
Uh-huh.
Then you could imagine what happened. It's now it's like this kind of like deflated floppy jacket with a big stiff collar.
I know that jacket. You look good in that.
Oh, thank you.
But I mean, it looks deflated, but
I only wear it with like a sweatshirt under it or something to thicken it back
puff
up.
Puff it back out. Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, it looks like I have a neck brace on.
So you're telling me, so I go back there, I get this thing with the fur, probably pick up a cowboy hat somewhere. I got the new watch and my Reebok pumps, and that's my look now. All right.
Mike.
Okay.
Here's the thing, Mike. You could keep piling all the latest designer stuff on your body, or you could change what's inside.
Mike, do that.
That's already perfect.
Oh, no. Another pair of pumps will solve my problems.
The first ones did.
It's all statement items. I like the idea, like what's happening. We all just have like cowboy hats and
just like
gold
boosh
chains.
Pump, boosh watch.
What do you think of all my crap? Well,
I didn't like it before. Oh, I didn't know that.
Ooh. Well, I'm at least about the same still. Okay.
Okay. You're worse.
Well, you know what might cheer us up?
What's that?
Wait a minute, cheer us up. I wasn't feeling bad.
Making us feel bad. Oh. Bip, 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 booze news.
Tim, Jeff, and Mike start the show up right.
Oh, yeah.
Get right into the news.
Wow.
Booze news, booze news, booze news, booze news, booze news.
Nice.
Damn, these are getting better all the time.
Great.
That was Bluegrass Booze News by Harglaborg. Hargy.
Hargy. Do you think was Hargy playing that?
Yeah, of course.
I think so. And I think that was Hargy's daughter singing at the end there. And if you have a booze news theme, send it to the Sloppy Boys Podcast at gmail.com.
That's cool, man. A bluegrass thing. That's a good. I like that type of music.
Really like bluegrass, and what I learned, it's not as old as I thought. For some reason, I thought bluegrass would be like ancient hillbilly music, but it's kind of like there's a guy like only like a few decades ago who was like, "Hey, I know bluegrass," and it was like it was more throwback. You know, it's kind of like when like the band and the Grateful Dead were doing like throwback Americana music.
Uh-huh.
Bluegrass was also a wave of that, like. The guy that started it was conjuring an Americana that hadn't really existed in music form.
Huh. Well, that's a young country, Tim.
Yeah, that's true.
We're still carving our way out. If this country even makes it, I think we're in a tough spot.
We're very divided.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
A lot of things. COVID has become politicized, I heard. I thought I heard.
Yeah. I think I have to agree with you. That's the first time I'm hearing it. But yeah, I agree.
I'll tell you something about bluegrass.
Huh.
For me, appointment only.
Oh.
Yeah, but you're making those appointments like every day, right?
Every other day, yeah. Can't get enough of this stuff, actually.
Come on, you're telling me you're not in the mood. You put on a little flat and Scruggs, a little Smoky Mountain breakdown, Foggy Mountain breakdown.
No, and I actually appreciate, I wish that, you know, you say the bluegrasses, they're actually bringing back something old. I'm kind of like, I wish you didn't.
Keep it in the past, cha-cha.
Nature selected it for extinction.
Well, yeah. Jeff, how about this? I wish that I was on old Rocky Top, Tennessee. Did that make you at least cry?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's holding pepper. Well, you know, Jeff, your one of your favorite bands, Fish, plays that song. And we are going to go see them on New Year's Eve.
That's what you keep telling me.
That's what I keep telling decided. You. I don't know what the foot dragging's all about.
You,
it's decided.
You want me to go from L.A. to New York to New Jersey to New Hampshire back to New York. That's what you want from me.
I don't have any problem holidays. With that. Well, however you need to get here, you get here. But.
Oh, it will murder me.
All right. Holiday travel, that's when you do it.
Okay. Take a bus, take a train, go and hop an aeroplane. You know, any way you got to get there, you get there.
Tim, that's got a good ring to it. You put it like that.
Thank you.
All right, what's the actual booze news?
Oh.
Or do we just play songs now if it's booze news? Is that what it's all about?
Hey, back off. No. Okay, I wanted to talk about the Many Saints of Newark, which, look, I know what you're thinking. Hey.
We covered
that's
this.
Patreon. That's Patreon talk. Yes, yes, yes.
But we just covered it. It was great. Great episode, if I do say so myself. And I think
I'm not going to argue with that. It was fucking awesome. But what I saved for this is I try not to get too cocktail obsessed on those shows. Uh-huh. And here on the Cocktail Pod, I wanted to ask you guys if you, when you're watching it, if you noticed the drinks that appeared in that film and if you thought anything about them, if they stuck out to you at all.
No, I try.
Because I jotted down. No, there's three cocktails that I heard, and I wrote them in my phone as I was watching. And I was kind of thinking, you know,
a whiskey wise guy was one they kept making.
yeah.
Joey Pants Pim's Cup was
I think
also
there was
one.
A Midori Mobster.
Yeah. A Tommy Gunned Topo Chico. How come the guys in this brand don't whip out Tommy guns and start shooting people up?
Well, I was thinking that, like, it's just interesting to see what a screenwriter like a David Chase or whoever chooses to put in the movie. Mm-hmm. And they were very distinct. The ones that were said out loud kind of conjured some images. The first one is, you know, the Harold McBrayer, played by Leslie Odom Jr.?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's trying to sleep. And his wife brings him a drink to fall asleep, and it's a 7 and 7.
Right.
That's right.
So that would be a Seagram 7 with 7 up, right?
Yep. Love them.
That must have been like a new drink at that time, because 7 up was kind of newish.
I think you might be right there, Mike. I don't know how old 7 up was.
The red dot.
7 up seems new.
You keep talking, I'll look it up. Beep.
I think that she had invented it in the other room and then brought it in.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, another guy who likes a 7 and 7, Dave Ferguson.
Oh, from the Birthday Boys?
Mm-hmm. He taught me them.
So introduced in 1929.
There you go.
So about 40 years old at this point.
Is that what crashed the stock market, you think?
Let's see. I'm just reading. Yes, Cerritos. It was.
Well, I like 7 and 7 because I like Seagram's. It's a nice, cheap, but good product.
Yeah.
Although a couple of the Seagram's daughters were mixed up in Nexium. They were like funding that cult.
Oh,
in
right.
Albany. Yeah. Well, now here's the thing that I thought was interesting. That's Harold at home. His wife brings him a 7 and 7 and she says it's to help him fall asleep. So that's his kind of cozy drink that he likes at home.
He was already asleep. That was the funny part.
She woke him up.
We discussed it. We discussed it.
Yeah, we talked about it, but he's out with the mobsters, and someone takes his order. And do you remember what he orders in front of the mobsters?
Yeah, but I forget.
Courvoisier and Coke with a water back.
Oh,
interesting.
Cognac and Coke. Water
the water back would have been the like the what we do for picklebacks. Like you take a shot of.
Yeah, anytime you get another little thing to sip, I doubt it would be a little shot glass. It's probably just a glass of water. But I think a back is anytime you also have another thing to
yeah.
sip after.
Oh, yeah, it was a full glass because I remember in the back of the scene there, they show him doing his shot. He does like a shot, but it just splashes all over his face because it's too much water.
It's too much. It's a big glass.
Yeah,
he yells, I should have had less water.
Damn this giant cup.
And also damn all of this crime
that I'm a party to.
Why did I get all mixed up in this?
Why did I have to be a party to it?
Well, have you guys ever heard of? I've never had a cognac and Coke. I mean, it makes sense you'd have a whiskey Coke.
I was going to say, like the Fernandito is sort of opened my eyes to mixing other stuff with Coke.
And fancy
here we
stuff.
Are. Here we have another one. Yeah.
Okay. So the Russian root did nothing for you, but the Fernandito did. Okay.
Like the Russian root didn't do nothing for me.
Yeah, we liked it, Michael.
Good, but that should have been opening up your mind.
Oh yeah.
So,
okay.
In Newark in 1967, the Russian root had not been invented yet. So otherwise, I would assume he probably would be drinking.
Oh yeah,
that.
No. That was early. That was early.
No, but you know, I was thinking. I've never heard of a cognac and Coke, and I was wondering if you think that's almost like when he's at home, he has a 7 and 7, but in front of these guys, it's almost like a code switch thing. Where in front of the mobsters, maybe he wanted to project a more. Like a more of a rich guy thing in order to fancier drink or like a more ornate drink could
be. Yeah, because it's a liquor and a soda. It's just a different liquor and a different soda.
Different, a fancier liquor, different soda, but water back, it's kind of more like I have a drink order that I want to say in front of mobsters or something. I could be wrong, but then the third drink and final, this one felt very flashy to me. When Harold is down in North Carolina, he talks to the horse race horse guy that has the fur coat who's a big kingpin and he says, would you like a hot chocolate and Bailey's?
Right.
Yes, that one I noticed too. I'd never heard of that.
What a funny
Irish coffee
kind
of thing.
You put Bailey's in black coffee and it becomes like a sweet drink, but hot chocolate plus Bailey's is like a little kid.
He's got a sweet tooth.
Okay, but then here's what made me think this is booze newsworthy. I was going to tell you guys about the Courvoisier and Coke, and then I said, how do I say Courvoisier? I know the ladies' man, how the ladies' man says it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How should I properly say it? So I Googled pronunciation. Yeah. How do you guys say it?
I lose that first R, and I go Courvoisier.
Courvoisier, that's what I know it as, too.
I think that's kind of what I say as well, but I found a YouTube video called How to Pronounce Courvoisier, and this doesn't have anything to really do with the cognac, but listen to the way that this French language teacher greets us at the beginning of his YouTube video.
Okay. What is up, guys? Bonjour. This is Julian, the French winemaking guy who makes wine and spirits videos.
He stole my fucking line.
Wow.
Julian Miguel.
What is up, guys?
What is up, guys?
What is up, guys? Bonjour.
Yes, cognac can only be made in
I am
France,
the French Tim Gabagas.
Is cognac a French?
Yes.
So how do you go about pronouncing the name of this famous brand with a typical French pronunciation? Courvoisier. Courvoisier cognac.
Courvoisier.
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 If you went into a bar and you were like, excuse me, may I have a Courvoisier and Coke? They would wrap you in the ear.
I say, can I have a Cucurico Cokey? okay, so that was my whole adventure, all a long walk just to say that I heard a French guy say, what is up?
What is up?
Say it again, Courvoisier.
I can't
Courvoisier.
Do it.
Courvoisier.
Courvoisier.
Do you think that he Googled, he was like making his YouTube video and like, he was like, what's a cool English way to greet people? And he found the Sloppy Boys and it was like, yeah, if you're kind of a cool person in America, you say, what is up?
He just went to most popular American podcast.
And then he scrolled way down.
For days and days.
Oh, yeah.
My poor fingers are bleeding. I cannot scroll anymore.
That's it for booze news.
Wrap it up. Wait, I missed. What was the sound? I missed it. Ah, there you go.
A chickarini.
A cluck.
It's almost a cuckoo kariku or whatever. What was it? Kiki kari.
But cuckoo riku is one as well, I think.
Okay. I love the booze news. I'm glad we've wrapped that up. Because now, Jeff, I want you to play a little song for me. It's 2007.
Oh, yes.
It is time for MIA, the Sri Lankan pop star, to make her debut. And damn it, she does. Do we remember this song?
It's time for her. Man, yes.
I remember the Pineapple Express trailer.
Oh.
Is when the first time I heard this song, and I said, oh.
This song is fantastic. It is, I think maybe it made my... Did one of us pick this for the best party song episode?
It was probably Disgust.
It was on my list, but I can't remember if one of us did. So
it was everywhere.
This song was everywhere. And oh boy, did Sam Ross, the inventor of the penicillin, have his ears perked when this thing was playing. Because he made himself a little drink. And he said, what do I name it? And he said, ah, the paper plane. He named this drink we're doing today after that song.
Get out of here.
Yeah. That's
wow.
It.
Wow. So this is a new, this is like the IBA giving us the new shit.
Yeah, this is a new era drink off the IBA. This is a 2007.
I know these guys are celebs. Or were you just about to elaborate? I don't want to step on you,
no,
Michael.
No, please, please, please.
So Sam Ross invented the penicillin. Uh-huh. He's like a big deal. This guy's
love
only like a
penicillin,
couple,
by the way. Sure. Yeah, have him at mess hall all the time.
They're divine.
Covered already in this intro. Go ahead.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
That penicillin. Uh-huh. Remember, I had a penicillin at Attaboy, right? Uh-huh. In New York with Jack Schramm. Attaboy is Sam Ross's bar. Mm-hmm. So and fucking.
Was once called Milk and Honey. Go ahead.
Is this all? Wait, did you say this already, or are you about to go in?
No, keep going.
You tend to know this stuff a little deeper, so go ahead.
I want you to say it, and then I'll add color commentary.
All right. So, like my esteemed colleague Tim was talking about, Sam Ross.
Esteemed,
sure.
Okay.
he was working at Milk and Honey, which was then became Attaboy. Tim, I do want to find out later why that was changed. And Diamond Reef. Have you ever heard of Diamond Reef?
Never.
That sounds like a cool place, but that's in New York City. But he invented the paper plane in Chicago at a place called... He was putting the opening menu together for the Violet Hour in Chicago. And I don't think he ever worked there, but he... I don't know. The circles just, he runs with. Somebody
just
said,
doing
hey.
Him a solid, yeah.
Probably because he made the penicillin that was going cuckoo caca, and they said, we need you to come down here and make this. So paper plane. And it's a... It's a take on the last word drink. We didn't do this drink yet, did we?
No.
Never had, never heard.
The last word was like a prohibition era. It's gin, chartreuse, maraschino liqueur, lime juice, and brandied cherry. So I'm fancy. Thinking that looks pretty fancy. It's in a little coupe glass. But this, I like this one because boy, oh boy, it's a easy story. This guy made it for this bar they didn't work at, and he named it after the song. Bye.
He made it for a bar he didn't work at. What was going on at the bar he did work at that night? Nobody drinking anything?
they were just drinking old penicillins. Well, it's funny. On Wikipedia, it says that the inventor was Sam Ross, but also Sasha
Baron
Petrosky.
Oh, okay.
Sasha Petrosky, who I think is... I think he died, actually. But I also think... Like, it says it was invented, developed by him and Sam at Milk and Honey. He owned Milk and Honey and some other bars, so I don't know how much he actually, like... did other than have the bar, but maybe he had his input too. I'm not sure.
Interesting stuff. Also, I feel weird saying like, this is a new drink. That song is 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nuts.
New era.
Yeah. So yes, Tim, fill in the gaps, my man.
Mind the gap.
English of you, my boy.
I was stepping all over you. I thought you were about to go into the recipe, and I wanted to say was, we've talked. Sasha Petrosky is like a very important guy. He was like this young dude. I feel like you'd even recognize him. He had like Like a young guy with like a Hitler Youth haircut, like a hip guy in like 1999, New York was like, how come we don't have cocktail bars? So he's kind of like, he was like 26 and opened Milk and Honey.
Oh, wow.
So then I just know that guy because he's in the documentary, Hey Bartender. And you're right. He died like mysteriously in his sleep a couple years ago, very young. But Sam Ross was a bartender that worked for Sasha, who... Like, I don't actually think that Sasha Petrasky, like, was super... I think he kind of made cocktails in a weird, riffy way and was, like, not a trained mixologist or anything, where he's more a visionary. He's Steve Jobs, yes. A hipster, Lower East Side Steve Jobs. I think that Sam Ross is like a bartender who invented the penicillin, invented this. Like, he was working... He's, like, in the lineage, and then... Milk and Honey became Attaboy, and we went there and we had the penicillin. But like, so Sasha Petrasky also opened the Varnish in LA, and Sam Ross is still alive and has gone on to like mentor many good bartenders. So like a lot of like the best bartenders at all the best bars in America kind of trace back to these same couple of dudes.
I think, Sam Ross these days, I think his latest thing is he just put money down on a an Applebee's up in New Jersey that he's going to like run.
Mike, he put money down?
Yeah, he got a franchise.
You were smiling the whole time you said that, Mike.
He's happy to be sharing interesting.
Oh, I'm just so happy. I guess. I did read something though that Sam Ross was saying that in Toronto people love paper planes.
Hmm.
He said that's big up in Toronto. I don't know.
You know, they'll eat anything up there.
Yeah.
I know a certain certified lover boy who would eat this thing up.
Damn.
I heard Sam Ross lately. He's been kind of bummed out.
Oh no.
I guess he saw that new documentary about Bob Ross and, you know, it was sad and he has the same last name as that guy. So it made him, I guess, just worry.
Well, the pictures I just saw, Sam Ross, he's got a shaved head and he's got a big bushy beard. So he's kind of doing a flip-flop of
the opposite. he says, I don't want to be anything like Bob Ross.
He's the antithesis.
Actually, Bob Ross has a beard, too.
Fuck.
Oh, well.
What is in this drink? The paper plane that came out did I say 2007? Maybe it was 2008. Hold on. Beep, boop, 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 boop. 2007.
Also, what year did Pineapple Express come out?
2004.
It must have been that very year.
I saw this trailer in the Dome. I want to say we were going to see The Hangover, and then I saw the trailer for Pineapple Express, and I said,
2008.
I know this tune. This is a good tune.
Yeah, yep. That was 2008 for those fellas. Okay, so here's what we got put in this thing. And this is... It's all 1-to-1-to-1-to-1. You got four things, all the same amounts.
Love it.
30 milliliters bourbon whiskey.
Cool.
30 milliliters Amaro Nonino.
Yeah.
30 mLs Aperol. 30 ml fresh lemon joie de lemon, as they say in France.
Wow.
Pour all ingredients in... That's lemon juice for those who have not heard me say that before.
Oh!
Pour all ingredients into a cocktail shaker. Shake well with ice.
Nice.
Strain into chilled cocktail glass.
Nice. Well, we all know my favorite is to shake with cubes and then pour on fresh cubes. But this is a close second.
This is not that. This is just shake with the cubes, pour it out, ditch the cubes. Cubes gone. We don't want to know about the cubes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cubes left behind. Discarded. Like the shells coming out of a Uzi.
And I've only seen pictures of this in a coupe glass. So I'm going to use I got little martini glasses, which I'm excited about. Not the big, big wide ones, but small.
I'm getting some flack online for still not having stepped up my glass game.
Right. People don't like that you don't like stems for some reason. They've taken upon themselves to ruin their whole weekend because Jeff doesn't like stems.
And I still have the same old glass, and you'll see that I'm using that tonight.
Good. Hey, it works for you.
Soon, I'll have all new glasses.
That's great.
Do you know the thing about 30 milliliters stem?
Huh?
30 milliliters remind me is a shot and a half.
1 ounce.
1 ounce. Love it. Go ahead, T-Man. You were saying, yo.
I was gonna try to make a joke, and I don't think I'm gonna do it. It was about how stem You know, like the like STEM is like science and math,
like stem yeah. cell,
STEM, not stem science, cell. More.
Oh no, yeah, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. If I think
well, you know, maybe by the end of the episode, I'll think of a joke that's about how like stems of glasses and science and technology, and it could be something that really crack you guys up.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I really cracked up.
Yeah, I like to just totally crack up.
I haven't talked about the garnish. So the garnish on the IBA is not applicable. No garnish. But
it doesn't apply?
In the future, you could just not say that. There's,
no, go ahead. But, go ahead. But, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Now, when Sam first made these in Chicago, he put a little paper clip on it. He had put tiny clothespin, and had a little like paperclip wire suspending a little paper plane.
Get out of here!
Yeah,
no, you're fucking. I don't buy it because you said
look
that Applebee's picks. Thing. You said that fucking Applebee's thing like 30 seconds ago.
Well, the Applebee's thing I said, you know, is sort of just a funny thing to say. I'm not smiling now, am I?
No, you're frowning.
Yeah,
he's
pissed.
I have had a drink that had a clothespin on it, a little clothespin, and a piece of like.
Yeah.
Linen or something. What was that?
We did a drink on the show that had that, but I can't remember. I wasn't with you when you had it in real life.
Huh.
Why the name? I understand that the MIA song was big, but what is it about? Is there a reason? Because I was looking, MIA is from London. I guess she's
Sri Lankan, but she's from London.
Are any of the ingredients in this drink?
No.
Where is this Amaro from? No, there's not really any logic.
I don't
here,
know.
There?
Yeah, I didn't find anything of why Paper Planes other than named it after the song.
Dunno.
Well,
I guess it's one of those just weird things.
Might be something for one of the listeners to maybe search up and let us know.
I have a feel like as soon as we take our first sip, all of this will come to light.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take one sip and we're going to fly like paper, get high like plane.
I have a feeling it's going to be like, we're just going to sip and we'll go, I am having a great drink.
Oh, no. I actually do think that there's a bullshit backstory on the Mai Tai that is like that. Like someone took a sip and said, Mai Tai.
Get out of here.
They dipped their neck adornment into their drink.
Yes, their neck adornment. Their neck adornment?
Oh, I have to go to a wedding this weekend. It says business casual. Now, would you wear a neck adornment for something like that or no?
Yeah. You know, the best one would be a tie.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfecto.
Yes. Well, shall we?
We shall.
Yes.
Let's do it. Folks, we'll be right back. Equal parts. I love it.
I know. It's the best.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back with Paper Planes.
Yo.
Yeah. Let's see.
Let's see what we got.
Planes up. Ooh, everybody's got the right...
Michael.
Michael's got a joke.
No, that's not a joke.
It's a legitimate garnish.
It's the paper plane garnish. I made a little paper plane. I stuck it on there with a clip.
It looks cool.
That looks awesome.
Michael, are you trained in origami?
No, that's why it took me so long to get back here to do this.
You were reading from an origami book.
But it's nicely it's nicely garnish sized. You did a good job.
It's like taking off.
Should we sip?
I like this little martini guy. Yeah.
Let's sip.
Smells good.
Is this just gonna be a bunch of bitter bullshit?
Interesting.
Not exactly, Jeff, but not too far off either. Ooh, there's some bitter, some sour.
It's similar to the penicillin.
Didn't he like ye?
I don't know if I've had a penicillin. I know you, Jeff. That's one of your
It's a lemony, gingery, honey bourbon.
Okay.
Now, I really like whiskey in stuff. Like when whiskey is present, but it's not the star of the show. Like
when whiskey is the funny guy in class who says present.
Yeah.
I like whiskey for a present. What I'll say about this, and the whiskey too, what whiskey did you got? I just got a Jim Beam.
Bourbon, don't cancel me.
Maker's.
I mean, bullet.
You're canceled, man.
I realized I hadn't, unscrewing that Jim Beam, I was like, I haven't had a whiff of like a
Jim
whiskey
Beam
in a long time.
Yeah.
That or what's the other one? Jack Daniels or Evan Williams or whatever.
I like just like the 1 ounce, 1 ounce, 1 ounce, 1 ounce of it all is very nice because everything is sort of, these guys know what they're doing, these little New York fuckers, because it's not.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. It's that thing where it's like, so if it was just the lemon juice and the bourbon, you'd be like, okay, it's like we're going to be doing a whiskey sour. And then Aperol sweetens it up with just a little bitter. It's not like it's Campari, so it's very bitter. It's a little bitter. And did you guys steal a nip of that Amaro Nonino?
I did.
Delicious. Yeah.
I liked it. It's, you know, it's definitely got the same star anise quality, but it feels a little bit more vanilla caramelly.
Yes.
Now, didn't we get, when we got the Fernet the other day, it was Amaro Branca, right?
Yeah.
So
Fernet Branca, yeah.
But there's also Fernet Amaro.
All Fernets are Amaros, because Amaro is the main genre.
Not all Amaros are Fernet.
Fernets are a subsect of Amaro, and then Fernet Branca is a brand.
Yeah.
But Amaros are basically herbal liqueurs from Italy.
Yeah, you could have Chinar, you can have Mazzanati, you could have Angelus. But this one, you know, we're always trying to kind of just avoid yet another bottle of black licorice shit, and I would say that I was happy... when we had the Fernet a couple weeks ago and it was minty, I was like, that's distinct. And then this one, you're right with the vanilla, Jay. I felt like a kind of like caramelized, molasses-y, sweet thing going on, and it didn't have any of the harsh herbs. It was nice.
What's that line from the beginning of the Warren Beatty movie where he's a singer? It's like, falling in love is a bitter herb.
Oh, yeah.
Ishtar?
Ishtar. Is that Warren Beatty? And who else?
Dustin Hoffman. That movie is fucking hilarious. The first half.
The opening is great.
Hit song that said bitter herb.
Yeah, then it gets away from you.
Yeah. Is it funny? Because isn't that like known as like the worst movie ever?
Yes. I think that's just because it was expensive, but it goes off the deep end with being like kind of an action adventure comedy. But
okay.
At the beginning, it's like two songwriters. It's like our brilliant Goldhoff and Steinstein sketch from the Birthday Boys. This is very funny.
That was, yeah, that opening is so fun. That's all I've seen of it, is the opening.
Folks at home, watch the opening. You can.
Watch Ishtar. Maybe we'll watch the whole thing one day.
Oh, that could be a good blowout.
Sure.
The best is dummies, when you're watching Peas in a Pod, two morons that are on the same page is always a fun thing to do. And that's what's going on with those songwriters.
Yeah.
Like, they're pitching just like very cliche hack lines and they love each other's ideas. And that's such a funny thing to see.
Oh, that's great. This, you know what this drink sort of has is like a, I mean, there's lemon in it. So it's kind of like a, it's giving me like a lemonade-y feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like, it's almost kind of like a Cosmo or something in that it's citrusy and pink. And then I'm just getting a little bit of a whiskey twang to it.
Damn, I'm impressed. I did not expect to like this.
I mean, it's just real nice that we got the fancy bottle of Amaro and didn't only have to put like three drops or a quarter bar spoon. It's nice to get to use the stuff. And it makes a better drink. I like when everything disappears into each other.
Yeah.
You know, four become one.
Now, Tim, you mentioned that we made it with the Amaro. Now, Mike, do we all make it with the Amaro?
Yes, we all made it with Amaro. I don't think I didn't get the Amaro Nino. No Nino.
What'd you use?
I got
no Nino.
I
no
got
nada.
Something called. I can get the bottle for you. But it was. I was talking to a guy who had a very nice place.
I believe you. You're not on trial here.
No,
I'm just curious.
No. I just always feel like I am. Hold on.
He is.
No, I just am.
Marseille is the no Farmhouse Spirits, I think, makes this and somewhere.
Oh, that looks cool. That looks really cool.
That has kind of a True Detective.
It's got a plague doctor mask on it. Yeah.
An Amaro by Farmhouse Spirits.
That's cool. And also, it looks like nobody would recommend that willy nilly. Somebody knew what they were talking about.
Right. We were looking at the Amaro Nonino that I was supposed to get. And I'm looking at the price, and I'm saying, that's kind of a bit steep, my man. And he says, all right, let's go a foot to the left here. Just pick this one out. All right.
Love it. But you like it to taste.
Look at this barcode, too. Now, I see a vase.
Okay, so this barcode is like two faces looking at each other and creating a vase.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's good podcasting right there.
Interesting. Eye trickery.
I think I like Amaro. I said it before.
He likes Amaro.
The guy likes Amaro.
Folks, get this man an Amaro.
I'll never wander faro from a good Amaro.
From a stiff Italian Amaro. Now, this drink is not, I wish it had more of like the pops and zings all over my tongue, but it's just kind of one taste. It's giving
you know
me
what you
a
do?
Little.
Mike, get some Pop Rocks and.
Yeah, yeah.
What I might do, this will throw off the nice, easy 1 ounce of each, but I could imagine scaling back the lemon juice because that's the only one that's popping to the
not
forefront.
Not me, Tim. I can't imagine it. It's one of the things that's worth the price of admission for me. You want to put more Aperol in here, you sick fuck?
Not more. I want to put less. I think that I'm definitely, if I had to pick one taste to say what this drink is, it's lemony. So I'm just curious if I rolled back the lemon.
What
five
else you'd
milliliters.
Get. Ooh, Tim, that could be good for like round two, maybe.
That's kind of awesome, dude.
As I'm sipping on this and enjoying it, I keep thinking to myself, ooh, I feel like my tongue is anticipating some mint
yeah.
sprig. Mm. Now, I don't have
Michael,
mint sprig.
I think it would go well.
What I'm going to do on round two is put a half ounce of creme de menthe.
Mike.
Oh, Michael,
you
dirty
are,
son of a
you're
bitch.
You're wild, shooting from the
I'm
hip
wild.
Like that.
This is, you know.
I can't imagine a mint in here, but I'm curious. I want to see your point of view come to life.
Now, I'm just curious because I have the creme de menthe and I don't have a mint sprig, but I do think a mint, like a muddled mint in here would be. It would add rather than detract.
I agree. I think a pink citrusy summery taste like this would have. The mint sprig would be good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now the creme de menthe liqueur might be a fool's errand, but I want you to try it.
Yeah.
How about
too.
This? Instead
but
of
I'm
even
doing
mint,
a half. I'm doing a half.
Instead of even mint, get yourself a big old basil leaf. Smack
Ooh.
It between your palms and just dunk it in there.
Smack it.
and put it over a nice fresh pizza.
Not bad. Ooh, you're making me want to go to Bella Luna.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
Ooh. Hey, my Bella Luna, my beloved pizza truck, mm-hmm. liked one of the Sloppy Boys Instagram posts.
That's really awesome. Do they follow us?
I mean, they must have followed. I followed them a long time ago, but they must have followed us back. And then it was great because it wasn't geotagged in like Los Feliz or anything. They're just looking at our grams and saying, "Oh, that's funny."
Which one was it?
I simply don't recall.
Ah. I'm followed by Dave's Hot Chicken, and it makes me very happy.
I love it.
I'm followed by David Letterman.
Oh. Stop.
What? I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you who I'm followed by.
I don't know what you want from me. I mean.
What can I do? Ah. It's good.
It's a good taste.
Good.
It's good taste.
And it doesn't have that common Sloppy Boys cop out where we like it more because the ice melts.
Mm-hmm.
This one is from it's the same top to bottom.
Yeah, it is more of a fruity drink than I was expecting.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. A lot of lemon. It's obvious, the lemon. But
I was tasting the Amaro going in a little bitter. Mm-hmm. The Campari going in. Sorry, the Aperol going in bitter. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm not gonna like this fucking thing. You put in, I like bourbon, I like lemon.
Sure.
Now we're in business.
Now, Jeff, you like to shit talk Aperol up and down the block, but let me give it some credit that it's doing some heavy lifting here with the sweetness, because I think that's what's keeping this from being a very sour, bitter affair. Although the Amaro is kind of sweet itself.
Fuck. No, you're right. I remember.
Fuck everything.
You're a little sweet
most
yourself.
Of all, fuck me.
When I tasted the Aperol going in, I was sort of like holding my nose at first, and then I remembered, Aperol is sort of the pleasant cousin of Campari. I can stomach a little Aperol. I don't love an Aperol spritz, and I'm not going to look at my rating again. That belongs in the toilet.
Your rating?
What about a Craperol shits? That's what belongs in the toilet.
I think it is. I think an Aperol spritz is a Craperol shits.
Jeff, I'll kill you. I swear.
Tim, stop. Don't say that.
He's okay, not going to do it. He's
I'll
not
stop
really
saying
it.
I'll stop saying it, and then I'll also not do it, most importantly.
You know, this is a good drink for, you know how when we have yellow birds, we go up into the high into the yellow bird tree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a nice, like, hey, what are you doing this afternoon? I think we could take a few flights on a paper plane. Yeah.
It's similar to the yellow bird in that it's sort of in a cocktail glass and it's citrusy.
Mm-hmm. It's another winged cocktail for the Sloppy Boys.
Dude, what if the Sloppy
Boys... It's winged month.
There's one called the Aviation. If we did the yellow bird, the Aviation, and the paper plane, we release them as like canned malt beverage. Sloppy Boys, Fly Boys...
Yeah,
altitude coolers.
Oh, if we ever, the Sloppy Boys Mile High coolers.
Okay. I don't know.
I like fly. Get boys. It? Get it?
I think if we ever do a show in an airport, like an airport bar, and we're like, well, you guys can also create the cocktail list. Those are the three we'll have.
That sounds so funny to do. To an airport bar.
Everyone
show.
Everyone goes through TSA to see our show.
Just a miserable experience for everybody.
Hey, everyone, we're playing at the Gladstones at Terminal 2. I actually love that Gladstones.
Takes all kinds, I suppose.
You know, the more you drink this drink, the drunker you get, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was noticing that. Whoa.
I was noticing that. Mike, you mentioned a song earlier, didn't you? There's a song that was associated with this drink.
What was I talking? What were we talking about? Bluegrass. Other than bluegrass as a genre, I don't think we were talking.
After
I'm so sorry. Paper Planes. Yes. This.
Right.
Yes.
But M.I.A.
M.I.A.
That song is by M.I.A. But
sure.
Mm-hmm. Are you? You know that that there's it includes a sample from an earlier song, right?
No.
Oh,
come on,
Mike. Clunk, 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 clunk. That part.
Yeah.
Jeff, you know it?
The Clash.
The Clash.
Oh.
I don't know the name of the song, though.
Yeah, it's The Clash, Straight to Hell off Combat Rock.
Yes.
The same album that has Rock the Casbah on it.
Mm.
Yes.
Does that mean to do the deed?
Rock, do, mm-hmm. the Casbah, deed. Yeah.
Do the deed. Do the deed.
Wait, didn't Will Smith sample fucking The Clash? He had a song that was like, he sampled Rock the Casbah for something.
Will Smith is sampling Clash.
Will Smith is sampling Clash.
He fucking did.
He doesn't hang with Jazzy Jeff.
He ran it by his lawyer.
Hey, very good, Michael.
Very good. These
nailing the syllables.
When I'm up in a paper plane flight, these come pretty easy.
He ran it by his lawyers. The lawyers clapping their briefcases closed.
Hey, patrons, that's an assignment for, or listeners, that's an assignment for you. Make that mash up and send it our way.
That's good.
Okay, the song is called Will 2K.
We'll definitely put it on the show if you do the mashup.
Can you guys hear this?
Big Will. Weird.
Oh, I've never heard this before.
Yeah.
But that was like a sing. That was like a single also.
It's Rock the Casbah, right?
Yeah. Weird choice.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Tim. You guys want to do round twos?
Hey, wait.
What?
No, well, you're welcome for bringing it up. You're grateful I brought that up.
Yeah, I love a little info.
You love when people bring things. I mean, I love topics.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was just going to say that it would be cool for us to listen to the Clash song that MIA sampled for Paper Planes, just so people could hear the original and see what, like, we all know what her song's all about is, like, dealing drugs and stuff like that, but we don't really know what their song was about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What, and you have it, or?
Yes, here, let me just send it over to Jeff, and can you use an MP3?
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to do a little,
Now, did you just pull this off the album, Tim, or is this something you, found the physical tape of?
I just put the vinyl on. I kind of ripped it from the vinyl now while you guys were talking. Okay.
That's probably why it's taking an extra second to decompress over here.
Yeah, because I compressed it real tight.
Oh, sounds like me on vacation.
Yeah, man.
Takes me an extra second to decompress.
Ooh, this file is rock hard, Tim.
I have a tough time leaving work at work.
But what do you think the Clash... I would just wonder what they would... You know, like, you make a song, and then decades later, it's like... It gets sampled. I wonder... I guess we'll just listen.
We'll find out. Oh, I've got it right here.
Don't be defeated, Tim. We're going to listen.
I wonder how they feel about the whole thing. If it's like positive for them or... Well, let's listen.
Yeah, let's listen, I guess.
Hello, we're the Clash. And one other thing, please don't steal our song. All I want to do is sing, 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 sing. So please don't steal our song. All I want to do is sing, 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 sing. So please don't steal our song. Please don't steal our song. Please don't steal our song.
Yeah,
please
right.
Don't steal our song.
Singer from Clash.
Please don't steal our song.
This song is called Straight to Hell?
Yeah, Straight to Hell.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
So wait, that was Joe Strummer you said is the singer?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know the Clash. You got Joe Strummer, Mick Taylor.
Joe Strummer, Mick Thumper, Bobby Bopper in the back. What's with these names? Come on.
All of their last names are the verbs
of what they do.
Thank you. That's my whole problem.
I never knew
Joe Strummer to have such a lateral lisp.
Yeah, I know.
It's dominant. But it really comes through on this recording.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess he kind of, if he's thinking of that song, Rudy Can't Fail, which is kind of my favorite Clash song, he kind of seems to have a little bit of lisp in there. But
he does.
Yeah,
okay.
It's weird. Okay.
I hadn't ever noticed it, but it's good. Yeah. This is just, you said this is off of vinyl?
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah. So I bet maybe that warmer sound, you can just really hear the lisp pop through.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It was so warm. I love, when I was listening to that, I was like, we got to get back to this analog shit.
Plus, with how much you compressed it, that might have brought it out, too.
Oh, I
oh,
really
Oh, you did
compressed.
End up compressing it. Okay. Okay, dude. That's how it came out.
I was, like, really self-conscious the whole time because, like, did I over-compress?
No, I think you did okay.
Yeah, you seemed worried this whole episode.
Well, that gives us a lot to think about, I think,
as we
go and make our second round of these.
Jeff, if I could.
I think that
gives us a lot to drink about.
Oh.
Nay, 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 nay. You can't do that yourself.
Mike, your Zoom screen froze for me right after you said that. It was. I think that gives us a lot to drink about. And then you looked into the lens and then you froze.
Folks, we'll be right back.
Woo!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And we're back with final thoughts on the paper plane. Michael?
Well, do you want to see what the creme de menthe one looks like?
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot. we have alts to deal with.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Mike, it looks nasty.
It looks like pond water. I took a picture of it, too, so we can post it because it's green.
How much you put in?
I did one of... an ounce of everything and then a half ounce of creme de menthe.
Man, it made that green, huh?
That stuff's got some green 40 in it.
Hmm. You taste it a little bit on the back, the end of the taste, end of the sip, but didn't really do much.
So it mainly just lent a lot of color.
Not a lot of taste.
Yeah, it's kind of like the mint sort of hanging out in your mouth a little more than the lemon was.
Does it go together?
It's not distracting it at all, but it's just kind of like,
it's funny
if I did a whole ounce.
When I taste lemon, I don't really think mint, but then, you know, lemon is close to lime and mint and lime is in a mojito and a lot of other things.
I've had mint lemonades before that are very, very,
oh, you're right. Yes, you're right.
Delicious. They are, what the doctor ordered on a hot day.
Michael or and Timothy.
Don't you dare call me that.
I do that all the time. I that's what my grandmother does. She'll be like, Dave, Jefferson. Don't worry
Dave
about
Dave Ferguson?
It.
Jefferson.
Oh, your dad's name is Dave.
Yes.
Mm.
But Tim, I want to hear about your alt, dude.
And did your middle name is Dave. All right, all right.
My middle name is Jordan.
I know that.
Like Jordan Klepper?
But my friend is named Dave.
Your friend's father is named Dave as well.
Like Jordan Klepper. Ever hear of number 23 Pete's?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Woo!
What about your all, dude?
Guys, I did the recipe again, but I put half the amount of lemon, scaled it back to half ounce. And ooh, this is perfect. I thought it was already a good cocktail, but right now it just, mine was very, maybe I had an extra flavorful lemon or something, but it was a little... Mm. Lemon was dominating right now. Now I'm just getting, you know, the perfect pings and pangs we love. I'm getting a little Amaro over here. Hey, don't forget about Aperol.
Oh, that's great.
Over here. Mm-hmm. And they're all present, but they're all working together in a little socialist microcosm.
Wow.
That's great, Tim. You saw a problem and you did something that actually corrected it.
I could have just sat back and say, no, that's life. I'll just live this way for the next 40 years and croak.
Drink these until I croak. Do you think if you ever went to a bar and said, give me the paper plane, but you know what? Just give me half the... Like, do bartenders take offense to that?
I think it would be... I mean, it would be a funny thing to order a paper plane, which is not such... You know, you can order a drink and say, oh, I have a gin and tonic, light on the tonic or whatever.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I mean, martini is like you give some directive.
Right.
I mean, I don't know where... I don't know how many places serve a paper plane. I mean, Attaboy has it. Are you going into every place and seeing paper planes? But I don't think so.
Right, and if you went into Attaboy and were like, okay, so I have some, because they're such a cocktail-y cocktailer's place, if you were like, I've got some restrictions to put on you, they would say, get out of here.
Especially because it's not about an allergy or anything. You're just like, you have your own little recipe that you like.
Yeah, and it's not about the drink. It's about the people you're sharing it with.
Oh.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah. It doesn't actually work ever, but okay.
So I don't know what the etiquette is with bartenders, though. Like, if you go in and you order a paper plane or a Trinidad Sour or something like that, the idea is that they would know how to make all of these, right? Or,
I mean,
in
we
theory,
said
but then not in practice.
In our first episode of this show,
we thought IBA was like the thing that everybody knew.
And because we hadn't even really given it a good look. And we were like, you could go into a dive bar and order any of these drinks and you'll be good. That's clearly not the case with the paper plane and the Trinidad Sour, like a dive bar. But I am interested, like, just how many places have these on the menu, or if it can be just a hit at one bar, the bar where it's invented. Can you be a big enough hit to make it onto the IBA list? We don't know anything about this organization that we built our whole podcast around.
Mm-hmm. Well, we stopped taking them seriously when they were down for 2 months.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, we got a real bone to pick with that. Yes. Okay.
One thing I don't like is when you go to a bar and all of their drinks are clever little unique things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? They all have their little twist and it's nothing you've ever heard of. And you can't look at it and be like, oh, okay, that's basically their martini. That's basically their sidecar. Mm-hmm. Like, they all are just called like up and down the river. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, or whatever, like little clever turns of phrases or references where you're just like, can you just make some normal shit, please?
That's the thing that really bothers me is that taking a classic cocktail or even a new era craft cocktail,
right,
swapping out one ingredient and then doing a pun on the original name with the thing. I'm so refreshed. I think it's going to come back, but like, Jeff, when we were at the Dresden and you look at the menu and you just see 20 names of cocktails, you know, that's so nice.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, that's what you got to do.
And I was in Pasadena at a fancy restaurant, the Arroyo Chop House. The Parkway Grill. Fantastic place. But every single drink on their cocktail list, it had that sort of like the Garden Collins or whatever. And I was like, can you just do a Tom Collins? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, so then why? I mean, You could have a couple signature cocktails, but like 30 drinks in a row are all that where you swap one ingredient. It's silly.
It is funny when you go to a place that you're reading, like, you know, it's called the Down the River or whatever, and you're reading it and it's like, oh, mezcal and a little elderflower. It's like, ooh, those all sound. I have no idea what any of those taste like, but it's like, I don't know what mezcal tastes like. But you just read the ingredients, you're like, oh, this sounds good. Like, what? I don't know.
Maybe the only place that like did that really well was when we were at Death & Co. in New York. The names, like the names were not, they were not puns and variations on classics. They had just from the, you know, ground up built new cocktails and named them what they wanted to name them.
I was under the impression that anything that was on that menu, I probably would have enjoyed or at least been like, wow, I'm glad I got this because it's so interesting.
Yep.
Well, let's get into final thoughts now. What do we think?
For me, this is an order again, and not even appointment only. And I will say, I was like washing the rest of the lemony taste out of my mouth. I am tasting the mint a little more, and I do like it with mint.
Damn, dude. I love it. Order again. It's kind of like a whiskey Cosmo, and I think that we should go back to New York, and we should go to Attaboy, and we should drink these in the place where they were invented.
Evan say, put on that MIA track we love so well.
But please don't play the original Clash song, for it is too depressing and lispy.
Yeah, folks, it's an order again. Tim, I like what you said about it being a whiskey Cosmo.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're dealing with. It's not appointment only or anything. I'd do one of these any day of the week.
It's great.
There you go.
Very good drink.
There you go.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where you can You know, you can listen to the blowout. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, like, for example, we talked about the drinks in The Many Saints of Newark, but if you want to hear our take on the entire film, you got to get on the Patreon.
And then we also got the monthly show. We got questions for Lennon. We just had Lil Mookie B on there. You got to check it out.
Oh, I love his work on TikTok.
Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Goodbye.